Security is always too much until it's not enough. I understand the security clearance process is not fun, but it's important. And if we think about it in context of what happened at the Washington Navy Yard and other events which have impacted people, property, information, and missions, self-reporting and continuous vetting provide the best opportunity for early intervention.
Welcome to Security Cleared Jobs, Who's Hiring and How, the podcast for cleared professionals looking for new opportunities and career advice. We go behind the scenes with recruiters and hiring managers from leading cleared employers to uncover the information you need to make a smart career move. Get ready for insights from this week's guest and your hosts, Kathleen Smith and Rachel Bozeman.
So greetings, good people. It's Kathleen, along with my trusted partner, my wonderful co-host, Rachel. Rachel, great to see you again.
It is fantastic to see you, and it's wonderful to be heard by all of you. Today is going to be extra, extra special and enlightening. So you are lucky that you tuned in for something pretty amazing today.
Yes, Rachel, it is going to be a great show today because we are speaking with Ryan Dennis, the Deputy Assistant Director of Continuous Vetting for the Defense Counterintelligence and Defense Security Agency, otherwise known as DCSA. We are so excited that Ryan could join us today because he is going to better explain how continuous vetting will impact your clearance. Ryan, thanks for joining us today.
Kathleen and Rachel, thank you both so much for having me here. I'm excited to talk with you both.
We are super excited you are here. And so I know that you are in Central Ohio, and I would love to hear your story, kind of how your journey started being in Central Ohio and now part of DCSA.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Marion, Ohio. And so unfortunately, I don't live in Central Ohio anymore. I now live in Maryland, as is the case. I've heard a few previous podcasts, and you guys have a history of Ohio members. Unfortunately, none of them seem to still live in Ohio, right? But, you know, my history or my journey, I knew at an early age that I wanted to serve in the military. And I attribute that, a lot of that, to my grandfather, who was a proud veteran and served in World War II. And so shortly after high school, I joined the United States Army, and I actually enlisted into the same military occupation specialty that my grandpa had when he was in World War II, within the field artillery as a fire direction specialist. And then I made the leap to become a cleared contractor and eventually sought opportunities to become a federal civilian and join the Defense Counterintelligence and Security Agency, commonly abbreviated as DCSA, as you mentioned, Kathleen. And I have had the honor of leading the continuous vetting program since that mission was assigned to DCSA in 2016. Today, we have 3.7 million clearance holders enrolled, representing the full enrollment of the entire cleared population.
Wow. That sounds wonderful. And yes, we do have a lot of people from Ohio. We have a lot of people from various different states that come here, but we all seem to gravitate toward the DMV area from one time or another. So welcome to the DMV, but I'm sure you go back and home and enjoy being part of Central Ohio every now and then. So as you explained earlier, DCSA is a large agency, and you have a number of very important mandates. Can you please sort of explain the roles and responsibilities of DCSA?
Yes, of course. So first of all, DCSA is an amazing place to work. I highly recommend that if you ever have an opportunity to work for DCSA, that you absolutely jump at that opportunity. DCSA has four major mission areas. Those major mission areas are personnel security, industrial security, training, education, and certification, as well as national background investigation services. Under personnel security, DCSA delivers background investigations, continuous vetting, and adjudications. DCSA conducts background investigations and continuous vetting on 95% of the United States government, and adjudications of security clearances for about 70% of the United States government. Under industrial security, DCSA provides oversight of approximately 10,000 cleared companies under the National Industrial Security Program. DCSA ensures that sensitive, classified U.S. government information, as well as critical technology programs, are properly protected by these companies. DCSA is also the premier provider of security education, training, and certifications for the United States government. And the National Background Investigation Services is a new information technology system which provides end-to-end personnel vetting.
Well, I feel a little bit more comfortable knowing all of that is going on. But I think something important, Ryan, for our listeners and my own curiosity here, before we can talk about what's currently going on, it's kind of nice to reflect and look back. And I think continuous vetting has had a number of names and a history that goes back probably further than any of us really realize. Would you mind indulging us a little bit in why did the government implement continuous vetting?
That's a great question. And it's great that you referred to continuous vetting as previously being known as continuous evaluation. That actually helps me explain why continuous vetting exists. The concept of continuous evaluation began in the early 2000s as an effort to bring automation to the security clearance process. Continuous evaluation really caught momentum after the unfortunate mass shooting at the Washington Navy Yard in 2013, when 12 members of our trusted workforce were killed and 3 others injured. The need for continuous vetting was also portrayed by other events, including mass shootings at Fort Hood in 2009 and 2014, and a long line of individuals who have betrayed the trust bestowed upon them by the United States government. The term changed from continuous evaluation to continuous vetting as standards were codified into law and policy, and the United States government began to uniform implementation of continuous vetting under a trusted workforce. Trusted workforce is a personnel security reform initiative which reduces the time required to bring new hires on board, enable greater mobility of the federal workforce, and improve insight into workforce behaviors. Continuous vetting is in place for the duration of time an individual is working for or on behalf of the United States government in order to preserve the government's confidence that the individual will continue to protect the people, property, information, and mission with which he or she has been trusted. Continuous vetting includes subscribing the clearance holder into a combination of perpetual, time-based, or event-driven automated records checks, combined with information provided by the employing agency or company, and DCSA conduct of personal security activities. And continuous vetting replaces periodic reinvestigations with ongoing determinations of a person's security risk. The ultimate goal of continuous vetting is to enable successful rehabilitation and retention of the clearance holder, so long as that is in the best interest of national security.
You know, this is great because, you know, I think that those of us in the cleared community sort of think, oh, we know the process and we understand what goes on. So I'm really appreciating sort of this in-depth background on what goes on. But in your description of continuous vetting, you reference rehabilitation. What do you mean by rehabilitation?
Depending on the position a clearance holder occupies, it can take months or even years to replace them at their job, and that can have an impact on the mission readiness of our armed forces. The goal is to maintain trust. The goal is not perfection. Our clearance holders are human. We all falter or fail at some point in our lives, and that does not inherently make us untrustworthy as a person. It is our reaction to those failures that really matters. Under the traditional model of periodic reinvestigations once every 5 to 10 years, there was too much time or opportunity for a clearance holder to experience normal life stressors and suffer in silence, where the person might be attempting to deal with those issues alone, but often unsuccessfully. What I mean by rehabilitation in the context of continuous vetting is early identification and involvement. It means not letting the clearance holder have to guess at what the United States government needs that clearance holder to do in order to remedy the issue. It means giving the clearance holder an opportunity to act responsibly early on and with the help of assistance programs in their employer. An example of this, under continuous vetting, once every year, a clearance holder's credit bureau report will be evaluated. Now, one of the most common events that will trigger a continuous vetting alert is what we call aggregated debt. It's a clearance holder going more than 120 days without paying debts, which when combined are valued at more than $20,000. When a continuous vetting alert is provided, the clearance holder may not even be aware that this debt exists yet, right? In other cases, perhaps that clearance holder is all too aware. The delinquent debt could be the result of medical bills, loss of income within the household, or many other explanations for why the clearance holder is falling behind on paying their bills. Through continuous vetting, identifying this debt relatively early, it is possible to provide the opportunity for the clearance holder to have resources made available, like financial counseling.
Well, I am just geeking out. I am so appreciating all of this information. I know many others are as well. And a lot of our listeners definitely fall into the security cleared professional bucket. And many of those have confidential or above type clearances. So if you wouldn't mind just sharing a little bit more of your brilliance and excellence and knowledge. Yes, I'm buttering you up, Ryan, to get some good information out of you, but would love to learn just a little bit more. What has changed and what should change when we look now at those security cleared professionals that are now under continuous vetting?
Really appreciate the buttering up as well. That always goes far. So first of all, it's important to note that the full population of clearance holders has been enrolled into continuous vetting. Everybody with a clearance is in continuous vetting. However, not much has changed for the average clearance holder. The clearance holder will continue to complete their standard Form 86. Historically, the standard Form 86 has been done once every 5 to 10 years. It is now required every 5 years to help ensure the accuracy of continuous vetting data checks against information that changes, like names or addresses. A very low percentage of clearance holders will actually generate a continuous vetting alert. The clearance holder may not even know that they are enrolled in continuous vetting and no longer going through the periodic reinvestigation. If a clearance holder is made aware of an alert, it's not the end of their career or clearance. The clearance holder is expected to provide amplifying information. I mean, explain the circumstances surrounding the alert, what the person has done or is doing to act responsibly, as well as any documentation or records that person may have which helps explain the situation. The more information the clearance holder provides at the onset, the quicker the continuous vetting alert will ultimately be adjudicated.
So what's great is that we have a security clearance attorney, Tony Kuhn, who joins us every now and then. And you're saying a lot of the same things that he says, which is, you know, don't panic. Be sure you know what your recourse is, that there are different things that you can do throughout the process. I'm wondering for our audience, if you could help a little bit with the understanding of what's happening behind the scenes and what is actually being vetted. I understand that there are 7 data categories that are being monitored, all of which are sort of codified by federal policy. Is there any way you can just sort of, you know, illuminate everyone as to the 7 different data categories so they're aware of these?
Want to show all the secrets of continuous vetting, huh? Those 7 categories include investigative and adjudicative records, criminal history, violent extremism, terrorism and unlawful subversive activities, financial history, foreign activities and associations, employment conduct, and interpersonal engagements. Additionally, as part of completing the security clearance process, each subject provides consent to being monitored in continuous vetting. DCSA has responsibility for enrolling the clearance holder by request of the employing company or agency into the required data checks. The data checks are run at a combination of subscription, time-based, and event-driven frequencies. And then DCSA systems maintain a list of thresholds which will receive results returned from the various data providers. Once DCSA systems determine a threshold is met, the system will generate what is referred to as a continuous vetting alert, which will then be presented to a DCSA continuous vetting analyst to conduct alert validation. During a 3-step alert validation process, a DCSA continuous vetting analyst will confirm the identity of the subject of the alert, verify that alert met investigative standard thresholds, and determine if the alert contains information which has not been previously evaluated in the security clearance process.
Awesome. And I have my own kind of alert going on over here. I have a puppy that's really excited to learn a little bit more as well. So I apologize for all of the fun in the background there. But I think it's a perfect segue into what you were sharing. You talked a little bit about the alert process. So I would like to pretend that I'm a security cleared professional, and I've bumped up against one of those thresholds that you mentioned. So what does that look like for me? Should I be expecting a knock at the door? Am I going to get a phone call, an email, a barking dog greeting me? What is going to happen to me, my friend?
Thank you, Rachel. Yeah, and dog lover here. Mine is being blissfully quiet. I gave him a stern talking to before our session today.
Brian, I knew I liked you. I knew I liked you.
It also helps that he's probably out back right now terrorizing the neighbors where I can't hear him and not me. So,
well, I took mine on a 5-mile walk to enjoy the bluebells. So, you know, but Rachel's got 4 dogs. So. We'll talk about that one later. Anyway, back to the question. What is Rachel going to get if she bucks up against one of these thresholds? Is she going to get a call, a knock on the door, an email? What's going to happen? Yeah.
So an example. I should give you an example. An example of an investigative trigger that meets a continuous vetting threshold would be misdemeanor arrests, warrants, charges, or convictions within the past 5 years. Again, a very low percentage of clearance holders actually generate an alert. But if or when a continuous vetting alert is generated upon you, your first notice of the alert will likely be via your security official or a DCSA background investigator. The format that you will be requested to provide information about the alert depends on several factors, including the severity of the alert information, like misdemeanor or felony, as well as the position type and geographic location of the clearance holder. The information could be scheduled to be discussed during an in-person interview or a virtual interview with an investigator. It could be addressed with you through your security official. It might even be requested to you, from you electronically.
So as a clearance holder, I need to be proactive in reporting sort of potential issues to my FSO. Why is it better to report an issue versus being notified? What's the difference and why does it matter?
Yeah, it does matter. And it's not just better, it's an expectation that the United States government has of all of its clearance holders. Obtaining and maintaining a security clearance is all about trust and acting responsibly. Being proactive and reporting information to your security official demonstrates that you understand the gravity of the trust the government has placed in you and that you are willing and able to uphold that trust. Also, remember the third step of the continuous vetting process, the alert validation process. Was the alert information already known? When DCSA continuous vetting analysts sees self-reported information in a personal security system of record, there is no continuous vetting alert that would be generated, as the information is already being addressed. By self-reporting, the clearance holder is taking the fastest and most reliable path to resolving their issue and moving forward from that situation.
Awesome. So I know under the umbrella of DCSA, the letters just roll off my tongue, DCSA, there's many you have the Department of Defense and other agencies. There might be a couple that fall outside of that umbrella, one of those being the intelligence community. So does the intel community or agencies that might fall outside of that coverage, is there different criteria for their continuous vetting programs?
The criteria for continuous vetting programs is the same for all agencies. The investigative standards that I highlighted earlier are applicable to the United States government, or the entire United States government. Continuous vetting criteria is consistent across the U.S. government, though agencies may use different tools and techniques to meet the policy requirements.
So, Ryan, this has been just very enlightening and very informative, and I appreciate you spending the time with us on this. Is there anything else you would like our cleared listeners to understand or know about the continuous vetting process?
Kathleen, yes, absolutely. Security is always too much until it's not enough. I understand the security clearance process is not fun, but it's important. And if we think about it in context of what happened at the Washington Navy Yard and other events which have impacted people property, information, and missions, self-reporting and continuous vetting provide the best opportunity for early intervention. As a clearance holder, your security official is a great resource and your advocate in the security clearance process. Your security official can tell you if you're enrolled in continuous vetting and can provide security resources and training. And kind of last on this topic is just be smart with your online presence and use of social media. Use your security settings. Be thoughtful in what you post, like, and follow as a clearance holder.
All great information. And I know that folks just can't, you know, pick up the phone and call you all the time, Ryan. So, but are there other resources that they can reference to get some of their questions that they might have about the process and continuous vetting?
Yeah, Rachel, they certainly try.
But they will not be successful. I feel like that was the next line, right?
Yeah, caller ID is great. We'll just... So yeah, resources available. So first of all, the DCSA website is a great resource of continuous vetting information. And that can be viewed at www.dcsa.mil. Available on that DCSA website, we actually just recently hosted on March 14th, 2023, a webinar on continuous vetting. And so the audience would have availability of that webinar through the DCSA website as well. And then that plug for the DCSA security training, education, and certification resources available on our website also.
Well, Ryan, I really appreciate all that. And I just want to give a shout out to your entire team and to our entire team, because this podcast interview has been quite a while in process. So I appreciate all of the members of your team and everyone who had to vet us to make sure that we were worthy of being, you know, spoken with, and that our audience would find value in this conversation. So my kudos to everyone on your team. My gratitude to everyone on your team for your service to our country. And thank you for being with us today.
Thank you both so much.
So I'm really glad that we had Ryan Dunnis from DCSA with us today, because it clears up a lot of the confusion going on with continuous vetting for so many cleared professionals. I know in talking to people at job fairs or talking with people on LinkedIn, people are just like, what is this process and what's about it? Ryan is such a great resource. I mean, he's obviously very supportive of the mission, but he also really was able to tell us a lot of the great information about the various different categories and alerts. So, Rachel, what were some of the things that you really found interesting with Ryan's discussion today?
Yeah, you know, there was an awful lot. I mean, obviously, he is well vetted. And definitely,
I can't believe you just did that.
You knew it was coming, Kathleen. You knew it was coming. But no, really, I think while there was so much great information, we learned an awful lot. Really, what I think I appreciated most was just a little bit about his journey, how it was really motivated by his grandfather, a World War II veteran, and then he was able to give us the look back. I think sometimes we take for granted why organizations, you know, come to fruition, and really this one was vetted in some very tragic, unfortunate situations that made it necessary to go through this extensive process, and just kind of giving us a look behind the curtain, or pulling back the veil, as I think he referenced, just to kind of understand what it means to those that are going through the process. So really appreciated the history lesson, and then also the real-time applicable lessons that we can apply today.
Please do follow our show, subscribe, and rate us, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.